author Jane Salmon has written, the phrase working mother is redundant. Because that's what mothers do. They work. They work a lot. And they work constantly. And they work in such a variety of ways. Mom may not wear all of the official uniforms, but motherhood encompasses several professions simultaneously. For instance, there is Mom the chef, taking orders and planning menus amidst a bustling kitchen, strewn with pots and pans and crumbs and buns, wielding her cookbooks and recipe cards while trying to answer that cell phone and letting the barking dog out the back door at the same time. Then there is Mom, the maid. She performs everything from vacuuming and dusting on Fridays to scrubbing the bathrooms on Monday and mending on Sunday evenings when she should be resting. Wiping, polishing, sweeping, collecting, replacing, folding, drying. These describe the cycles of the life of Mom throughout the week. And then there's Dr. Mom, on call 24/7, 365, making those night visits to the children's bedroom to perform advanced diagnostics. What does little Johnny have? Is he really ill or just scared? She's learned the art of prescribing placebos as remedies, too. After that knee scrape or fall on the ground, a little lemonade will do, make him feel better. She has to, at times, perform traumatic surgery. You know what I'm talking about, getting those little splinters out while they're screaming bloody murder. Or even worse, ticks embedded into the skin and digging and digging. Poor Mom. And then there's Counselor Mom. She utilizes multiple conflicting therapies on her children, learned a little bit here and there by trial and error, desperately trying to keep peace in the home and hoping what she's saying is truly biblical counsel. And then there's Mom, the professor, for the sake of her own children, learning or relearning algorithms and geometric calculations, the difference between a participial or prepositional phrase. Why would she learn that but for her kids? Which country on the map is Tasmania and which is Tanzania? Or more locally, the difference between the Potomac, the Patapsco, and the Patuxent Rivers. Learning for her kids and their chauffeur mom. So much time spent on the road, logging hundreds of miles a week. Isn't that true? Just to get them there and then back again to arrive finally inside only to realize you forgot one errand and have to go back out again. And there's Mom, the bodyguard. Mom is usually mild-mannered. Suddenly, though, she can display her razor-like nails and bare cat-like fangs toward anyone who would threaten one of her dear kittens. Strangely also, you might say there's Mom the bouncer. One of your sons has an unwanted friend that came over. He won't leave. He's causing trouble. That's when Mom flexes her muscles to keep the joint free of the riffraff in the neighborhood. And, of course, there is Mom the prayer warrior. Daily, no, hourly, praying for her children, each of her children. Dear Lord Jesus, help them to learn, help them to be safe, help them to heal, help them to learn to serve you, Jesus, with all of their hearts. Oh, and Lord, help Dad to understand them better. He's a little slow, you know. So many hats, so many uniforms that are worn by Mom. We don't have time to talk about Mom the coach or Mom, the business manager, interior decorator, or servant helping in the church. We've all heard the saying, a man's work is from son to son, but a mother's work is never done. Even vacation is no vacation for a mom. Author Barbara Kingsolver said this to mothers about their kids. It kills you to see them grow up, she writes, but I guess it would kill you quicker if they didn't. Actor and comedian Milton Berle once said, if evolution really works, how come mothers have only two hands? Well, we love our moms. We know they're not perfect, and we love them still. They have their bad days, too. Someone has written this little essay, What My Mother Taught Me. My mother taught me religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed, "You better pray that stain comes out." She taught me logic. I asked why, and she said, "Because I said so, that's why." She taught me personal stamina. "You will sit there until you finish your spinach." She instructed me about the weather also. "It looks as if a tornado swept through your room." And of course, most importantly, she educated me on the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. We do love our mothers, even with their imperfections. We know we have greater imperfections that they have endured many, many, many days. Amen? Yes, we appreciate our moms. We have a fond affection for our mothers. Maybe what gets overlooked, though, is that we are also to honor our mothers. Honor. Maybe when you think of honor, you think first of dad. He's the head of the home. He is to be honored. But the scriptures are quite clear about the honor that mothers are to receive as well. So today I want to take you to a variety of texts of scripture all over the Bible to better learn three truths about honoring moms. Three truths about honoring moms. First, ways God honored motherhood. Second, ways we are to honor mothers. And third, ways mothers need to act honorable. Ways God honored motherhood, ways we are to honor mothers, and ways mothers need to act honorable. First, ways that God honored motherhood. You know, God commanded us to honor our mothers. Would you turn in your Bibles to the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, and to verse 12. Keep up with me. We'll be going a number of texts this morning. The first giving of the Ten Commandments from the mountain in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, we have the command, honor your father, and maybe that it's overlooked, and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives to you. You learn from God's law what God sets up laws to protect things that he values. Life is protected in the sixth commandment, where the command is given, thou shalt not murder. Property rights are protected with the command, thou shalt not steal. Truth and justice are protected with the command, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. God's name is precious and holy. It is protected with the command, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The family and faithfulness are protected in the command, thou shalt not commit adultery. And yes, parents, including mothers, and their authority in the home are protected by God by divine command. We are to honor both father and mother. It is not good enough to honor only one of our parents. Motherhood is God's creation as well. The Lord chose to have all human life since the Garden of Eden arrive into this world through a family, specifically the womb of a mother. Life is given from a mother. That is God's design. And so God commands, honor her. To the second generation of Israelites out of the land of Egypt, God repeated this command. If you turn forward to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, we'll see God wanted them to hear this as well. Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you. This is a repeated command. That your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Please note that this was not about sentimental treatment of mothers. Israel's national security and their prosperity depended in part on how they treated their mothers. God said, this is not a nice thing to do on a little holiday once a year we call Mother's Day. This is a crucial thing to do. I will watch your land and see how you treat your mothers. And I will treat your land based upon that. While we're in Deuteronomy, please note again how severe this is. We turn to the back of Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 16, again embedded in the law, being given the second time. we read these strong words: "Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." He made them say this in response to the covenant that the Israelites were making, the Mosaic covenant. It was that important that they verbalized this, that they would keep this. Nor should we think this is only an Old Testament prescription and command. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew now in the New Testament in chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1. Jesus, in an interaction with some of the religious leaders, and we'll start in verse 1 and read down through this passage in Matthew 15. It says, "Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?'" And Jesus doesn't answer their question. He turns it back around on them, verse 3. "He answered and said to them, 'Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition.'" When religious leaders came up with a way to make money, which involved pilfering from money that was supposed to be going to aging parents to support them and provide them honor, they thus dishonored them by their tradition, and Jesus would not go along with it. Christ rebuked that. They set aside the commandment of God for their religious traditions. And he said that type of religion is hypocritical. Now turn to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 10 and verse 19. Mark chapter 10 and verse 19. When the rich young ruler asked Jesus, "What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responded this way. He says, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." Jesus reaffirmed the commandment to the rich young ruler to show the standard for gaining everlasting life. If you want to get into the kingdom of God by keeping commandments, then you have to keep them all, and you have to keep them all perfectly, never disobeying any of them at any time in your life. This man said he'd kept all of them, including honoring his mother, and he kept all of the other commandments. But Jesus found a deficiency in this man. Because he loved his money so much more than the kingdom of God, he refused to take Christ's command to sell it all and come follow him. He put his money above the kingdom of God, and he didn't gain everlasting life. He broke the commandment, essentially, "Thou shalt not covet." And that's why salvation can never be gained by trying to be good, because no one will ever be good enough, no matter how hard they try. You have to let go of your old life and receive as a gift, in a humble fashion, the new life that Christ wants to give to you. And again, this emphasizes the importance of this command, even now for our day and age. Turn to Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Again, we see the command: honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. You see it here reaffirmed to the children in the church who were right there in the church, sitting with their parents, receiving instruction from the church, just as some of you children are doing right now, listening to the Word of God as you sit in a time of worship with your family. They were to honor not just dad, but also mom. It's a command. It was that important. And the promise of care for those who did it is repeated as well. It will go well with you if you obey this commandment. What is it about honoring a mother that's so important in God's mind? It shows gratitude. This is true. It shows an awareness of the fact that all life comes from her. This also is true. But it is also God's arrangement. It is God's plan that you are honoring. To not honor God's plan and how he brought about life and the command of authority in the home is really to be haughty, and it's to be blind and misunderstand what God has done in providing you life and setting you up to learn here in this world. It misunderstands the very source of all of your life. It reveals an ugly lack of appreciation that all that you have has been given by God through mom. There are other indications of how God honored motherhood in the Word of God. Don't try to keep up with these. You can just jot some of these references down if you would like. There's Exodus chapter 1 and verse 15 where it says, "He who strikes his father or his mother shall," it doesn't say be spanked, it says, "shall surely be put to death." Does that give you an insight into the kind of honor that God said parents were to receive? In case there was some numbskull who couldn't figure it out, to hit or strike a mother was definitely not honoring her. In fact, it would receive the death penalty. God is serious about honoring mothers. In Exodus chapter 21 and verse 17, it adds, "He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death," not have their mouth washed out with soap. Young people, are you listening? It is God's will that you watch your mouths and how you speak to your mothers at all times. It is not a small thing. If you want it to go well with you, you speak graciously always to your mother and confess it quickly when you don't. In Leviticus 19 and verse 3, it says, "Every one of you shall reverence his," and it lists this time the mother first, "his mother and his father." The word for reverence is the word in Hebrew for fear. In other words, show her fear because you fear disobeying the commandment of God and the chastisement and judgment God would bring upon you for disobeying this command. God will deal seriously with anyone who will not honor both father and mother. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18, "If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them." In other words, they've done all they know how to do. They've tried and tried and tried. But he grew up and he got more and more obstinate and just would not obey. Nowadays, we'd send him out of the house and say, "You're on your own, son." But in that society, it was over for him. There was no place for him to go. He was put to death. Three more. Proverbs 19 and verse 26, "He who assaults his father and drives his mother away," in other words, she's grown older, the son has grown up, taken over the property and driven his mother away, it says, "is a shameful and disgraceful son." Proverbs 20 and verse 20, "He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness." Proverbs 30 and verse 17, "The eye that mocks a father," notice it talks about the eye and how the eye looks at the father. "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it." That speaks for itself. So that is how God honors motherhood. He places a high premium on the value of motherhood. We turn second now to consider ways we are to honor mothers, ways we are to honor mothers. I guess I could start out by talking about all the ways we are not to honor her, or in fact that it does not honor mothers. Society comes up with some strange ideas. Some are sweet and wonderful. The cards and flowers and candies that we see this time of year are fine, but there are some strange ideas out there also. Today it seems like the very concept of raising up women to the equality of men, the equality of the sexes as it is being described to us in many cases, seems to have more to do with the elimination of the sexes. Men act feminine, and that is considered okay. Women are applauded for acting and behaving like men. This kind of equality is a misguided sense. God does make distinctions between mother and father. If he didn't, why would we celebrate Mother's Day? Mothers should be honored, and they should be honored as mothers. And that's different than being a father. In fact, to raise women in their mind to the status of men and therefore to treat them as men in a strange and ironic way is to dishonor what it means to be a woman and a mother, as if it isn't honorable enough on its own. Shouldn't it be readily apparent to all of us that motherhood in and of itself is something that God honors? Another bizarre theme that I found on the internet is expressed by one website this way. Mom doesn't mind sharing her day with Mother Nature. Why not honor them both by giving mom an environmentally friendly gift? Well, there's nothing wrong with taking care of the environment, but the earth is not our mother. We did not evolve. We were created. Eve is the mother of all of the living, and God is the father of all the living, and we honor him. Another strange website encourages the veneration of Mary on Mother's Day. If you have a favorite statue or icon, it says, of the Blessed Mother, put them in a more prominent place during the month of May. So it encourages. But church tradition that has all but deified Mary does not honor Mary. She doesn't want that. For the true Mary in heaven wants all praise and adoration and worship and attention and glory to be given to her Son, Jesus, the unique God-man. Nor is it honoring to motherhood in general to do such a thing that takes away attention from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, here are ways we should be honoring our mothers. Would you turn to Psalm 139, verse 13? Psalm 139, verse 13. We sang about this morning. In verse 13, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb." Here is a statement which shows an awareness of and appreciation for the beginning of life right there inside mom. God is honored for making life and making it inside a mother. And in this way, mom receives her proper honor as well. That is the main reason, by the way, that life should be protected in the womb, for it is already indeed human life. That life began in the womb, and it is something never to be forgotten that that's where we began. Obviously, mom never forgets that. She carried us. Paul even recognized this in Galatians 1:15 when he pondered his own life. He said, "God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace." And he goes on to talk about his apostleship. He was called and set apart right there in his mother's womb. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 6 for another way to honor mom, not just by appreciating that life began there, but look at Proverbs 6 and verse 20. And children, I really want you to pay attention now. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. "My son, observe the commandment of your father," it says, "and do not forsake the teaching of your mother." Obviously, it assumes mom is teaching the children at home. How can you honor mom? Do you want to honor mom, children? How can you do it? Here it is. By listening to her teaching. Listen to what she teaches you about life, about your duties around the home, about your character. Listen to her. She's teaching you. We are to treasure the teachings of a mother, particularly those mothers who are passing on sound biblical teaching. I know that often teachings are hard to hear. You're going to hear your mother say things that you don't want to hear. She's going to tell you you need to work hard and you don't want to, but she's wiser than you. Work hard. And it will be well for you. Working hard is so important in life. Things will go well for you if you listen to mother. You may want to do certain things, and she doesn't want you yet to do that. She's wiser than you. Listen to her. You may think you are right, but you are not as wise as her, and you're not as right as you think. And there's so much more you have to learn. Listen to her teaching. Pay attention to her teaching. Honor what she thinks more than what you think. Yes, I say that even if you're a teenager. You still don't know enough about life and decisions. Listen to mother. You should trust her teaching more than you trust your own opinions. It is proud and dishonoring the way so many young people approach their mothers. It's wrong and it is foolish. Children, when you are being instructed, don't turn your back. Don't turn your head to the side. Don't roll your eyes. Don't interrupt your mother. Don't tell her, "I know." That is not honoring your mother. Don't talk back either, for all of that is dishonoring. You cannot please God that way. You won't get wiser that way. You're not cool that way. God wants to teach you, and He's got a great plan for you. Listen to your mother. You can honor her that way. Now turn to Proverbs 23 and verse 25. Proverbs 23 and verse 25. It says this, "Let your father and your mother be glad." How can you do that? How can you make your father and your mother glad? Well, that's what the proverb wants you to think about. How can you make her happy? "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you." You say, "Isn't she going to rejoice no matter what I do?" No. No, you can bring great sorrow to her heart. Are your father and mother pleased with you? Are they happy with you? Are they glad the way you speak and the way you act and the things that you think and the things you're pursuing in life? Are they happy with who you are? If not, you need to change something. You need to make them glad. That's the wisdom of God. Seek to please them. Do you ever take the initiative to do something you know they've asked you 25,000 times previously, and this time you're not going to wait to be told, you're going to do it first? That will please your mother, I guarantee it. When they say, "I want you to do this today," do you say at the end of the day, "Oh, I forgot"? That doesn't please your mother. If you are not reliable to do what they tell you to do, you are not a joy to them. Don't just do what you're told. Find a way to do it better. Show that cleaning the dishes or doing your homework is something that you're doing to honor her. If your mother does not enjoy teaching you or spending time with you, you need to think, "I need to change something. I should be pleasing my mother." Now turn to Romans chapter 16 in the New Testament and verse 13. Romans 16 and verse 13. I'm trying to give you some things maybe that you haven't heard before. I know some of this is old hat. It just needs to be impressed upon our hearts. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 13, Paul writes, and this is just in the greeting at the end of the letter, "Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord. Also, greet his mother and mine." Now, he's not talking about his literal mother here. Rufus isn't his blood brother. Paul indicates that this choice man of God there in the church at Rome had a great mother who had also influenced the Apostle Paul in the Lord. And even Paul thought of her as a spiritual mother in a sense, as someone who had rubbed off on him, as an older woman with a great faith as an example to him. So show appreciation then for the spiritual guidance of your mother as well. When she sets an example in prayer, when she sets an example in forgiveness, model her. She's there for you to learn spiritually. Value that example. You know, it does you no good at all as a child at home to keep pointing out all of the faults of your mother or your father, all the things that she does not do right. How does that really help you? She does have good things to share. Be discipled by her. Value the spiritual maturity and guidance she gives to you, for God gave her to you. Now, third and last, ways that mothers themselves need to act honorable. This is for you, moms. Four ways, through your words, work, your where, and your walk with God. First, in your words, turn to Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Often when we hear a verse like this, and it talks about an unwholesome word coming from our mouth, we think if we simply refrain from the cuss words, then we fulfill what this verse says. And some of you maybe haven't even refrained from that, but you think that you've fulfilled what this says, ladies. No, unwholesome words are much broader than the cuss words that we might be tempted to say when we are very, very angry. All unwholesome words of a whole variety that are unedifying are to be put off. The word for unwholesome here in verse 29 is sapros. It's got a variety of extremely negative translations. Sometimes it's translated rank or foul or putrid or rotten or diseased or disgusting or decayed or worn out or bad, profitless or worthless. You get the idea. They are unhelpful. They are worthless. They are unwholesome words. They're empty words. They give no benefit to anyone in the home. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Not one single unwholesome word is part of the new woman whom you are in Christ. The goal of your words are to impart grace according to the need of the moment, the person standing in front of you, what they need, your graciousness comes. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, it's a parallel to this passage, and it says, your speech should be gracious speech and seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. And motherhood involves many scenarios and situations where your tongue needs to be trained. We are to be edifying with our words. Ladies, you have so many opportunities in the home to build up. Edification is not primarily, by the way, making someone else feel good about themselves. Edification is not primarily giving them a good feeling or sending them away because they're happy and you like them and they like you. Edification refers to words that you would say that would build them up in their faith, that would cause them to rely more on Christ. Mothers, your children have needs that call for your wise teaching and advice. In discipline, the little ones need to hear patience and sweetness in your voice as well, not exasperation and a sharp tongue. Proverbs 12:18, there's one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Correct them with a soothing tongue. What good is it to say, this is for your good, when the tone of your voice says that it's not? Proverbs 16:23 says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. A mom is not simply to be right about what she says. She needs to be inspiring, filling that child with hope and direction and understanding the knowledge that she's giving is wonderful and sweet and should be followed. It's not good enough just to state what is right. It has to be said with a sweet spirit. Choose your words carefully. Help them, inspire them, build them up in the faith. Don't look for every opportunity for them to do wrong to point out their faults. And when you don't know what to say, what should you do? Restrain your lips, right? Where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 10:19. A second way, ladies, that you need to be honorable is in your work. Would you turn to Proverbs 31 and verse 10? Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. Now don't stop flipping out there now. We got a few more to go through. An excellent wife, who can find, for her worth is far above jewels, it says. The Hebrew term translated excellent or virtuous in verse 10 is kahil. And interestingly, the word basically means force or strength. This excellent woman is a woman of strength, a woman of force, a force of character as well. A virtuous woman is a woman who influences her family positively with her character and with her work. And thus she also impacts society through that labor. She is a woman of substance, of impact. She doesn't just go along, she makes a difference. She works. She's physically strong, mentally tough, morally firm, and spiritually rooted. If you glance down at verse 13 as well, it says that she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. The picture here is of a mother and a wife going out and looking for the best products she has the ability to acquire and then works hard. Wool provides the warmest clothing for the winter, and flax was used to make clothing for the summer and even fine clothing. Please notice, ladies, very importantly, that she works with delight. There is a joyful willingness to her labor. It is not that her work is easier. It's not that her work is less repetitive and more interesting. It's not that it somehow is measured against someone else's work and it's considered to be better. No, she's made a conscious choice that she wants to serve her family. Due to her faith in the Lord, she has hope and she has meaning and she has understanding. And that is in her mind. She sets her heart willingly upon her work, no matter what the task, and she does it joyfully. What, mothers, do you think really is the secret for being happy while you labor at home? It is not the removal of the labor. You would like that for a period of time, and then you would find that you don't have joy in that estate. You know, sometimes we daydream when we're in the midst of assignments that we don't like. Maybe some of you ladies have become daydreamers because you think there's something else that will give you greater joy. If you had greater appreciation from others, that would be nice, but it's not the real source of your joy. The secret to joy is to make up your own mind about your work. Have confidence in the goodness of the Lord toward you and your estate. Live not for yourself, but for the will of God from your heart. The will of God that Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us is good and well-pleasing and perfect. For the Scripture says, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. A selfish heart, of course, produces a long face. That long face can be seen often in your workplace, the home. If you're wondering, where's all the fun for me in life? Well, pondering that too much will rob you of the joy that God wants to give to you right in the midst of your situation. And if you're gloomy too much, it's going to rub off on the children, and that will only multiply dissatisfaction in your home. Listen, the well-run home is not for the faint of heart. It's not for those who tire quickly or can't discipline themselves, much less their children. It's not for those who content themselves with just getting by and hoping the kids will grow up quickly. Life is hard. The Lord made it hard. That's the curse that's on the world. But it is, as a Christian, incredibly fulfilling. Take time this week to probe the joy that you can have in your sacrificial service for Christ in one of the most important positions in the entire world, that of a mother. And third, you can honor God and be honorable in what you wear or your dress. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 3 through 4. Peter writes, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit which is precious in the sight of God. How Christian women dress is a concern to God. Women in society for a long time have internalized men's desires to view women primarily as sexual objects or wanting to have status by the woman that they are married to. And so wanting to please the pride and lust of men, many women have concentrated primarily on their external appearance and beauty. Peter sees in society's concentration on a woman's body and on her status, her hair and the gold and things like that that go along with it, an unhealthy spirit and a wrong emphasis. Peter is not forbidding the wearing of these things. Peter is exposing the attitude that is overly concerned about these things. There were fancy ways the Roman ladies did their hair and wove the gold within them. So this is not saying you can never braid your hair, but it is saying they overly put an emphasis upon that. And in our society, does anyone doubt that that is true here as well? Peter is not discouraging a woman from looking pleasing to her own husband. He's not saying you can't wear any of these things. Otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed to wear any dresses. The wearing of gold itself is not a sin. It's not evil to braid the hair. He meant there's a greater priority, something you should be more concentrated on. And it's not your physical appearance. It's the condition of your spirit. Are you a woman who's known as having a precious and quiet spirit in the sight of God? When people have been in your presence, your wife and your husband and your children in particular, do they sense from you that you have a precious spirit within you? A spirit that has communed with Christ and knows the humility of walking with Christ who was crucified. In other words, the sin of female vanity was to be avoided at all costs. Don't let an excessive interest in these areas keep you from adorning yourself in a far more important way. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Proverbs 31:30. Beautiful women who have poor character, what does God's word say about them? Proverbs 11:22. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Ladies, you must recognize that our culture can have a strong effect upon you and what you think about. You need to think particularly about styles, athletic styles, beach wear, and other styles, and make sure that you are honorable in the way that you dress even there. Modesty for women is not a suggestion from God. It is a requirement for godly ladies. Many of our young ladies in their teens and college years are watching each one of you and how you dress, and they are forming their opinions of what it means to be honorable based upon your example. Do them well. Set a good example. Fourth, you can be an honorable mother by walking with God. By walking with God. Ladies, be those who spend time with Jesus and love Jesus Christ. I hope your religion is not simply a duty that you go through the motions week by week and perform what you're supposed to so you can make sure you're keeping up with the checklist. Cultivate your relationship with Jesus Christ. Be faithful to His commandments to you. Live for Him and in utter dependence upon Christ. Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Get excited about your religion. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12, now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Psalm 18 and verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. John 14:15, Jesus spoke, He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. 1 Corinthians 16:22, if anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. Be a lover of Jesus Christ. Let Him have the first affection in your heart. Don't let your religion be stale and uninspiring. Learn the fullness of what it means to walk with Christ. Yield to the Spirit of God within your heart, and your inner thoughts be transformed by the Word of God. Love Jesus Christ. Walk with Jesus Christ. I want to close by giving you seven honorable mothers in the Bible and a brief statement about each one. Ways in which they walked with God and what you can learn from them. Just write these down. Seven honorable mothers in the Bible. Number one, Sarah. She walked by faith with her husband. She endured upheaval and uncertainty to follow her husband into the will of God. And due to her endurance of faith, she became the mother of the promised child and an example for all women now. She put God's will for her life and her husband first. Do the same. Put God's will first in your life. Then there was Hannah, the mother. She brought her greatest pain to the Lord in prayer. She cried out to the Lord and persevered with her request, and God heard it after a period of time, and God granted her desire. And her heart was true to what she promised, for she indeed dedicated Samuel to the service of the Lord. She did not just make a promise to God, she carried through with it. I would say, let all of your unfulfilled longings, lady, draw you closer to the Lord, not further away from Him. Trust him. In due time, he will grant you what you need and what you desire. And then there was Rahab. What a horrendous beginning she had, giving her body to be sold for sin as a prostitute. Yet she believed in the mighty God of Israel under the command of Joshua, and it turned her life around. She ceased from her sin. She received forgiveness for all of her sins, and she became a mother in a godly line of children. Stands now as a monument of God's amazing grace. You are never to believe, ladies, that your failures in any way diminishes what God can still do through you. To doubt that is not to doubt yourself. It is to doubt God. Be believing and obeying. And then there was Ruth. She demonstrated care and devotion to her aging mother-in-law and, more importantly, to Naomi's God. She chose not to follow the ways of the worthless younger women in those days that surrounded her, but she clung to the will of God and she did what was right. So you too, don't follow the pack. Don't follow what everyone else your age is doing. Show uncommon devotion to God and seek a reward from Him. Don't say, younger ladies, I have to wait until I'm older to be that dedicated to Jesus. Then there was the Syrophoenician woman. What a lady. What a mother. Lowered herself before Jesus in entire humility in order to intercede for her sick child. She utterly jettisoned her reputation and her pride in order, just like a dog, to beg for Christ to heal her daughter. Learn from her. With humility, never think you are entitled to God's blessings. Lower yourself before the Lord, and He will exalt you. And then there was Mary. No, I'm not referring to Jesus' mother, nor Mary Magdalene, nor even Mary of Bethany, but another Mary, the mother of John Mark, who was a gospel writer, mentioned in Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. She supported her son as he wanted to serve the apostles. She also is known for opening her home in Jerusalem to be a place of hospitality for the saints and a place of prayer. You too, like her, can walk with God and raise children that you support as they launch out to serve Christ. And you can show hospitality in your home as well in service for the saints. And then there was Eunice in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. She passed on her Christian faith to her son Timothy. Ever heard of him? One of Paul's most useful helpers. Sincerity of Bible study was in that home. Constant prayers being lifted up according to the will of God. So you too, ladies, can know that your day-by-day walk with Christ, your prayers will be heard. Persevere in these things. Keep doing good. The greatest thing that makes your children want to walk with Christ will be your example and your love for Christ. Don't forget, day by day, how important all those little things are at home, that you're being watched and watched and watched. And lastly, I'd like to say, for any mothers who are here today, and they're now thinking back upon their life and feel that there's been mostly, if not complete, failure in the home, and you feel, I just failed my children, I want you to listen to this good news. God will accept you still. God can change you. He can make something out of your life, not because of who you are, but because of what He has done in Jesus Christ for you. You see, Jesus obeyed God the Father perfectly. He obeyed Him all the way to suffering on the cross to pay for your sins. He rose from the dead to conquer death. He is the Savior. That's what He does. And He'll salvage your life. He'll give you a new life, really. Your part simply is to turn from a life where you did not bear fruit for God, and turn to God and ask Him to give you a new life and let Him work in your life. Your new life is in Jesus. Serve Him with a whole new start. Turn to Christ for yourself. You need it. Turn to Christ for the sake of your children. They need to see in the home a saved and Christian mom who is honorable and has an honorable example. Let's close by praying again for our mothers and for the way the Word of God would impact us this morning. We ask You, Lord, to take Your words and in the way that You are pleased, sovereignly to impress these upon our hearts, to teach us where we are failing to honor our mothers, whether at home with the little ones who still must obey the voice of their mothers, or those of us who are grown who still have a duty to honor our mothers. Lord, also help our mothers to evaluate themselves and from this day want to be more honorable in their actions and in their heart's desire in one of these ways. Help us, Lord, to not forget what you have said and indeed commanded about honoring motherhood. We thank you for this blessed day. We pray that we'd have joy in our heart as we let your word minister to us. Thank you for Jesus and all that he means to us. Save any in this room, Lord. Help them to believe in you this day who have not yet trusted in Christ as their Savior. For we ask it looking to you for joy and peace. And all God's people said, Amen.